You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and a very warm welcome along to the William Hill Daily Racing Podcast. You're tuned into Monday's edition of the podcast where we're looking ahead to the action at Ayr and Ludlow. We've also got a meeting on the poly track at Lingfield to come on Monday as well, and you'll hear full race commentaries and results of every single race across the day on Monday afternoon with myself, Sam Norris, in the studio alongside Andrew Mount and Lord John Budden on Monday. It's been a superb weekend of equine action as well, and joining me to recap the best of the weekend's performance as well as a look forward to Monday is Craig Forsyth. Hello, Craig.
Hello, Sam. How are you?
I'm very good, thank you.
Yep, yeah, very good. Very good. Enjoyed an excellent weekend's racing on Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah, absolutely. It's not always that we get a good day, certainly domestically on a Sunday. Too often we have to rely on excellent cards in Ireland, of which we've had on Sunday, but Kelso and Huntingdon have really stepped up to the plate, meaning it's been a good day all round on Sunday.
Yeah, the highlights in the Kelso card, obviously the Borders National, and we had the Peterborough Chase, old Joss's Hill.
Yeah.
Putting in a real good round of jumping, getting his own way to a certain extent from the front, but you couldn't fault his jumping. He thrives in small fields, flat right-handed tracks. Everything was in his favour on Sunday, and he delivered. He pulled away and showed a lovely turn of foot in the closing stages.
Yeah, another win in the race for Nicky Henderson. Does he look Ryanair bound now, Craig? Or
yeah, well, he went there last year, yeah. Didn't he? He was well beaten in the race, but the concern, he's won four races over fences now, Sam, and all four wins have been in fields of seven or less. So, you know, he's clearly a horse that does thrive in the small fields, particularly when he can get his own way out in front. I think that definitely helps his jumping.
Do you feel his jumping's improved markedly since last year's Ryanair? It just seems today it was a much more complete and polished round of jumping.
It is. He made a better shape of his fences. You know, sometimes he looks like he lands a bit flat, but he certainly has improved. I'll be interested, certainly, to see where he goes next, because obviously Cheltenham, you know, they'd be looking for, I presume, the Ryanair there. But, you know, I think it'll be really interesting to see where they place him in the lead up to the festivals in the spring, because, you know, I think he is capable, if he can't continue the improvement with his jumping, he is capable of winning more races over fences.
Yeah, looking forward to seeing Joss's Hill in the future. Then the feature at Kelso, as you quite rightly mentioned on Sunday, was the Borders National, won by Harry the Viking for Sandy Thompson, who's been something of a cliff horse for some people, Harry the Viking. We've always known he's got a race like this in the locker, but he hasn't actually come forward and won it until today.
Yeah, he's gone a long time with the team drinks he has. And, you know, he was a young horse. He was with Paul Nichols. And, you know, since he's moved to the Sandy Thompson yard, many a time at the likes of Hayrock, you know, he's came there, looked like the winner of his races, and he just hasn't seen it out and been pipped at the post. But
must be even worse for the in-play punters as well, because not only those of us getting involved pre-race, but as you say, he seems to travel so well in his races.
He does, yeah, but he doesn't always see it out. But let's give credit to Rachel McDonald as well, who's ridden him on the last two occasions and ridden him extremely well. Rode him with a lot of confidence at Kelso on Sunday, you know, and got a fantastic tune out the horse, jumped really well. And, you know, he's seen off a horse that in Carrigdoon that has found plenty for pressure himself on his last two starts at Carlisle. So, real good performance from the 11-year-old.
Let's mention Fairy House as well. An excellent day of racing there. Three grade ones on the card. We'll start with the feature of the day, the Hatton's Grace, which saw Vroom Vroom Mag taste defeat for Willie Mullins for the first time. I think 10 races prior to this she's had for Willie Mullins. And this was definitely her biggest test, but was just beaten by Apple's Jade by a short head, who looked bitterly disappointing on seasonal reappearance. Much better in the fighting fifth last time to just go down by a nose to Irving. And she was so impressive in the spring of last season. Is she a horse that just takes a few runs to warm up into the season?
She could well do. I mean, she showed a lovely attitude, didn't she? She was better positioned in the race throughout than Vroom Vroom Mag. And she did have an advantage from how the race developed. But when Vroom Vroom Mag came there under Ruby Walsh, the attitude shown by Apple's Jade was fantastic. A real good filly that, you know, had a real good season as a three-year-old, has definitely trained on as a four-year-old, and after a couple of blips, is back in the winner's enclosure. And what a race to win, the Hatton's Grace, grade one hurdle. So fantastic performance. But I think if Ruby could have ridden the race again...
Do you think he gave him too much rope?
I think so, yes.
Yeah.
I think he would have been a little bit closer. Shane's Hill finishing third, you know, he travelled well, but he is often a weak finisher, and that was the casing point again today. He eventually finished third, beating seven lengths. But I think Vroom Vroom Mag, you know, shaped like the better of the two, particularly given the weight allowance.
Yeah.
Just given a little too much to do.
Okay, that was the Hatton's Grace then. Some other good performances across the card at Fairy House. Land of Hope and Glory won our opener. That goes three unbeaten now for Joseph O'Brien, who's going to have a strong hand, you would imagine, in the Triumph Hurdle, which he won in all but name last year with Ivanovic Gorbatov. And Land of Hope and Glory done absolutely nothing wrong since going over obstacles.
Three from three, you know, was a decent horse on the flap. But one thing about him, and Ken Peterson mentioned from, you know, seeing him in the paddock again, how much he's grown, how much he's strengthened up from the days of when he was racing on the flat. And, you know, he tanks through his races. And for a juvenile who was going hard at it into the last hurdle, he produced a fantastic leap. He's really quick over his hurdles. I mean, Cheltenham, a stiff track, would definitely suit him as well.
Yes.
Obviously, you would like to think, you know, some of the better juveniles we haven't even seen yet.
Yes.
But at the moment, he is certainly the one that sets a standard in this division.
Indeed. And finally, last one from Fairy House then. Early Beach winning the 110 for Willie Mullins. Is another horse who's unbeaten for Willie Mullins now and hasn't always been considered one of the real stable stars. Has been dodged by Ruby Walsh. Well, he was today, and not for the first time. Ruby was on Penn Hill. And of the three Mullins runners, certainly in terms of jockey appointment, you'd imagine Paul Townend would be riding the second string. This was very much the third string, but wins again for Willie Mullins and looks an exciting novice hurdler.
Yeah, another one that benefited from being given an aggressive ride from the front, but she jumped really well, really quick over her hurdles and quick away from the last. Peace News was coming to challenge at the last. Would he have won? I don't know, to be honest. Probably not would be the answer to that. But obviously, we didn't get the chance to find out. Peace News coming to grief, unfortunately, at the last. He's one certainly not to give up on. He is a nice physical sort that should go on, hopefully put this behind him and get back in the winner's enclosure next time. But take nothing away from Early Beach. You know, unbeaten record, I think, seven from seven.
Yeah. Indeed, a very impressive performance there. Let's quickly look back on some of Saturday's top performers then before we move on to Monday's action. We'll start with the feature race of the day on Saturday coming from Sandown. The Tingle Creek won by Under So For, Willie Mullins and Ruby Walsh, who have obviously been talking about having a good day at Fairy House on Sunday. But by his exceptionally high standards, it's been a slowish start to the season for Willie Mullins, certainly on these shores. I mean, I think by this point last season, he'd already farmed a good few pots in the UK. This was his first real big win in the UK this season under So. And for a horse who's fallen on seasonal reappearance the last 2 years, it was very impressive because Cider Grouge, you really, really made him work for it.
Indeed. And, you know, the one major negative for his chances, I seen going into the race, was the fact that Armad was lining up in opposition. And Armad, as we know, is a really keen going sort that was going to take Under So on for the lead and put pressure on his jumping because, you know, the one flaw he has under So is his technique over his fences. He isn't a natural like the likes of Cider Grouge and Godzone. But, you know, he didn't make any bad mistakes under So. He wasn't as quick as the likes of Cider Grouge over his fences, but he was quick enough. Mm. And the way Ruby picked him up after the second last and then again after the last, he had that little bit of extra turn of foot on the level, which was good enough to see him win. You know, in terms of entertainment, it was high. The value was high. In terms of the form, what was worth, I think, you know, a little bit of caution involved.
Yeah.
You know, Sir Valentino has finished fifth, not beaten all that far. So I don't think it was a vintage renewal, but from an entertainment point of view, it was a cracking finish. Cider Grouge just going down by a length in the end. God's Own, he made a horrendous blunder early in the contest. He lost a good 6-7 lengths, and for him to get as close as he did suggests he's still on the up and he's still capable of winning another grade one event this year. Renard Mad, you think he's fallen out the back of the TV, you know, given how keen he's gone, given the mistakes he made.
It was a horrible mistake. I think it was 6 out when he made an absolute meal of it.
And then he's running on again for fourth. So, caution over the form, but a really entertaining race. Did enjoy it, Sam.
Yeah, and me. Gary Moore has mooted the King George as the possible next destination for Armad. That's going to be even tougher than the race he faced yesterday. But if he can sort his jumping out, he'd have every chance.
Indeed, and right-handed track, I think is the key to his chances as well. And hopefully he can go forward rather than bounce off the back of his reappearance effort.
Indeed. The final horse I just want to mention quickly then from Saturday's action, Altior, was a very short price favourite. Only had three rivals to beat in the Henry VIII Novices Chase, but it's a Grade 1 Novices Chase. He's a worthy favourite for the Arkle, you would think, at this stage, and he's done nothing wrong since going over fences.
This was basically his chasing debut because he didn't really have a race at Kempton first time around. And he was big at a couple of his fences, and he had a lot of ground to make up on a real useful type in Charbel.
Yes.
But no filly rode him with a great deal of confidence, and the horse has got a massive engine. He'll just get better over his fences for sure. And the race itself was only 2.5 seconds slower than the Tingle Creek. So last year's race, obviously, much quicker than the Tingle Creek.
Yes.
But, you look back to last year's renewal, Armad, clocked a sensational time, but it turned out to be a really good race. This time around, I think Altior, he's going to take all the beating. Over 2 miles for the time being, certainly.
Absolutely. Great to see Rocky Creek back in the winner's enclosure as well, who won the London National a little bit later on in the card. He'll be presumably targeted at the Aintree National once more, but good to see him in the winner's enclosure.
Yeah, definitely. And he's been a grand horse. Let's not forget he was talked up as a Gold Cup horse at one stage in his career. And, it's good to see the handicapper relenting and giving horses like Rocky Creek a chance to win again. He hasn't made a mockery of his mark. He's dug deep and, he's seen his race out well and, fair play. It was great to see the old boy back in his bag, 25,000 in the process.
Absolutely, yeah. I'm sure Connections will be delighted with that part. We'll move on then to look at some of Monday's races now. We've got four picked out, two from Ludlow and two from Ayr on what's a decent day for a Monday. We begin with the races at Ludlow, start with their 135. This is a handicap chase, a qualifier for the Challenger Staying Chase Series final. As the name suggests, it is over a long trip, 3 miles and a furlong ahead of the nine runners. But the ground might be all right, to be fair, at Ludlow. It's not one of those races that's going to take loads of getting, I wouldn't have thought.
Yeah, you usually get good ground at Ludlow. And, the weather so far hasn't been bad. We've had, a bad week to 10 days or so of wet weather. But, the conditions are holding up and forecast good ground. In terms of trying to find a winner here, Sam, I would take a chance with one inexperienced horse over fences, and that's Royal Milan. He didn't get any further than the first on his rules chasing debut at Ascot, brought down on that occasion, but he's a previous point winner. And having seen him in the flesh over hurdles, he does look the type that, would better his hurdles form when going chasing again. And I don't think he's badly handicapped. He's handicapped on his hurdles ability. On 125, like you said, he doesn't have the experience against the likes of Long Lunge, By the Boardwalk, Dynamics, Guha. They've got more experience, but I think he's got more potential, Royal Milan, and it's the potential that I would be with here. Richard Johnson riding at the top of his game at the moment. The track should suit, and he's an out-and-out stay, so 3 mile, one round Ludlow should prove to be perfect.
Okay, Craig taking a chance then with Royal Milan for Philip Hobbs and the champion jockey Richard Johnson in that 3:35 contest. We stay at Ludlow then for their 2:05. The mare's in action here, a handicap hurdle this time, a Class 2 event with seven runners lining up. Just shy of 2 miles is the trip. A decent pot on offer as well, just shy of 20 grand the pot for this race. Seven of them have lined up, which makes betting a little bit more difficult. Craig, who's on your mind for this one?
Last year's winner, I think, has got to be Aventrez Bella. David Pipe, fresh from bagging a big pot on Saturday, the Beecher Chase. And Bella, for me, shaped like she would improve a great deal for her comeback run at Toaster. Looked the winner throughout that contest. Just looked like she blew up and was in need of the run in the latter stages of the race. Eventually passed by Graceful Legend, a horse that has gone on and ran really well since then. So the form looks fairly solid from Toaster. Of course, she won this race last year off a mark of 113. £6 higher this time around, but I think with the recent run under her belt, I think there's more improvement to come from Bella, and she may have most to fear from Favourite Girl, who ran an absolute cracking race for Michael Appleby at Ascot last time.
Okay, better than to retain her crown in that race at Ludlow than the 205, but keeping our favourite girl who could be chief danger to the selection. We go to air now for a couple of races there, beginning with the 145. This is a handicap chase, 2.25 miles, the trip. Dead eight runners standing their ground at time of recording. What did you make of this one?
I think this is the better of the day in this race, and that's Lucinda Russell's Foray de Eagles, a horse that made his debut for the yard at Carlisle over 2.5 miles. And you look back at that race, Sam, and he covered more ground than any other horse. He raced 6-7 wide all the way throughout the contest. So it was absolutely no surprise to see him tire in the closing stages. He had to, really. You know, it was his first run since April 2015. Gone the long way round, but his jumping was a joy to watch. I think, you know, on the bare form, and the way he's gone round and about his business at Carlisle, I think a mark of 110. He looks a well-handicapped horse. And you look through this field and there's a few question marks hanging over a few of his rivals. Spanish Fleet dropping back in trip. You know, if anything, the way he ran at Carlisle looked like he wanted to go up in trip. Gold Opera from a yard that is really struggling at the moment. Remains with potential Gold Opera, but yard struggling for winners. Treat Yourself, jumping fell apart at Doncaster last time, and it doesn't look a strong contest. I think this is an excellent opportunity. And Foray de Eagles could be a decent price as well. So I would make this the best bet of the four on Monday.
Strong selection then for Lucinda Russell's charge in that 145 at air. One more race to come then from the Scottish venue on today's podcast. This is the 250 at air. And obviously, limited handicap chase here. 2.5 mile furlong the trip. Seven runners have lined up for this one. I always find them quite difficult, these limited handicaps, Craig. What's on your mind for this one?
I like James Hewitt horse here, Ascot du Broyer. Really impressed with his performance of his penultimate start at Sedgefield, finishing third behind a useful sort of Brian Ellison's that went down south and ran a decent race at Sandown on Friday. That form looked particularly strong, and I thought there was improvement to come. And to be honest, I thought it was a good thing to go and follow that up with a victory, stepping up in trip last time as he stepped up to 2 mile three, eventually finishing third behind Drumley Ladd. You know, that was a little bit disappointing after what he had achieved on his comeback run, but I think he's worth another chance. I think the form of his run over 2 miles at Sedgefield suggests he's on a decent mark currently of 115, and he's been found a real good opportunity here.
Okay, Ascot du Broyer then, the choice for Craig in the 250 at Edge. Give us a quick recap, please, on your four selections for all the action on Monday, if you don't mind.
Yeah, starting off in the 135 at Ludlow, Royal Milan for Hobbs and champion jockey Richard Johnson. In the 205 at Ludlow, I'm going for Bella to win the race for the second year in a row. And up north to air for the 145, the bet of the day, Foray de Eagles for Lucinda Russell and Derek Fox. And the final selection of the day is in the 250 at air, Ascot du Broyer for James Hewitt.
Thank you very much then, Craig, Forsyth's thoughts on Monday's racing. Thank you very much for that, Craig, and enjoy the action this week.
Thank you.
And you can tune in to William Hill's Racing Radio from 11:40 a.m. on Monday morning. It'll be myself, Andrew Mount and John Budd in the studio guiding you through all of the action from Ayr, Ludlow and from Lingfield Park as well. You've been listening to the Daily Racing Podcast.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.